I spoke about this in a recent podcast, how there's a commander in Ukraine who is saying that, hey, it's no big deal that we've lost 1.7 million Ukrainians in this war so far. I mean, actually, he didn't say that, but the Russian hackers have released that information showing 1.7 million casualties and missing young Ukrainian men are just being decimated by this war, sadly. But this war commander says that the answer is we're going to replace many of them with robots. We're going to use robots to wage the war. And the thing about robots, which I didn't even have time to cover in detail, is that this speaks to why control of the global sea lanes is so critical for this robot competition. So think about what the USA or the US Navy is typically doing. It's projecting power all around the world, and it's threatening countries and trying to coerce countries. And specifically, the US Navy is working to control the Suez Canal through Egypt, you know, that connects the Red Sea to the Mediterranean, the Panama Canal, the Strait of Malacca, the Strait of Taiwan, Southeast Asia. And of course, the waters near the west coast ports of the continental United States, as well as the east coast ports. And then we're looking at Greenland, and now, you know, the importance of waterways around the North Pole, or maybe not that close to the North Pole, but the Arctic waterways that are important long term for trade. So what does all this have to do with robots and militaries? So most of the military leaders who are informed are realizing that a lot of war is going to be automated. Just like this Ukraine battlefield commander says, you're going to see more and more automated systems, or Terminator soldier bots, basically, and Terminator swarm airborne bots, and then kamikaze dog bots, etc. This is going to dominate war. It's already begun to really reshape the way war is conducted. We're seeing this in Ukraine, obviously. Drone warfare has radically changed the entire nature of war, and it's only going to accelerate. Well, that means then that the strength of your military no longer depends on the number of men you have, combined with the industrial output of munitions and tanks and so on, all of which are, you know, driven by men or operated by men. But instead of men being the bottleneck now, it's going to be the ability to manufacture robots. In other words, as AI robots are able to replace human roles in war, which is already happening, then it doesn't matter that you have run out of men. Like, Ukraine has run out of men for the most part, and a lot of countries just don't have that many men anymore. And I'm not including women, because the combat roles, to be effective, they have to be men for the most part. There are a few women in those roles, but most women in the military are not frontline combat roles. So it's mostly men around the world. It's almost all men who are the soldiers. Now, countries like India and China have an enormous number of men, and so they don't have a population limitation. In fact, in some cases, some countries might want to get rid of their men. Like, you know, the UK wants to get rid of their men because their young men are noticing the tyranny of the British government. So yeah, they want a war. They want to send off all their young men to die on the front lines in Ukraine. And that's part of the reason why Keir Starmer is pushing for war. There are other reasons, but that's one of them. But if you step back and say, well, who has the manufacturing output capability to generate the largest number of robots? Well, of course, that answer right now comes down to China, but Turkey has such capabilities. Iran, India, and Russia also have notable capabilities, as does the United States, but the U.S. manufacturing of robots is dependent on, you got it, rare earth minerals such as neodymium, which is used in the robot actuators, or the magnets that are part of the actuators. And so, the ability to manufacture robots not only depends on your own industrial output capability, which also depends on the affordability of electricity, but also, more importantly, the availability of raw materials that cannot be synthesized, which brings us to the table of elements. So neodymium is an element. And as you know, the reason different elements have different names is because they are not the same. And one cannot become the other. There is not, I mean, you might say, well, there's transgenderism, although that's also a total lie, a mass hallucination by lunatics. But there is not trans-elementalism unless you can achieve it through fusion and fission, which isn't economically feasible just to make neodymium by blowing up stars or whatever. So you have to go find it. You have to go find it. Now, neodymium, I mean, it's all over the place. It's in little tiny microscopic flecks or little, like dust, little pieces of dust, like micrograms in a ton, let's say. You might have micrograms of neodymium in a metric ton of mining dirt and rock from a typical mine. So let's say you're mining for copper or you're mining for aluminum. And then you have these mine tailings. There's just these large piles of dirt left behind. Well, you can go through those large piles and using some pretty toxic chemistry, you can pull out the neodymium. But for every ton of rock that you process, you might get maybe a couple of milligrams of neodymium, possibly. But in a lot of areas, it's just micrograms. It's not even worth doing. So in other words, neodymium is it's common in the sense that there's a little bit of it everywhere, but it's rare in the sense that it's very expensive and difficult to extract and to concentrate uniformly into just pure neodymium. Now then, once you get the neodymium, which itself involves a lot of technology and China is leading in that technology, then you have to transport it back to your home country's robot factories. Hence the need for a strong Navy to protect the sea lanes. You got it? So this is why Trump realizes that if you don't protect the Suez Canal, and if you don't protect the Panama Canal, if you don't have sea lane dominance, then you can't even get raw materials back to your country. And think about right now how the Houthis or the Yemen people, the Yemenis military, I don't have the proper name, but they have been able to harass ships to the point where Israel's ports are non-functional. So Israel is not capable at the moment of being able to import neodymium for that very reason. And as a result, Israel cannot manufacture robot armies. So the robot armies are going to have to come from somewhere else. Well, who's willing to manufacture robot armies and send them to Israel to continue to carry out Terminator genocide, which is what Israel is doing in Gaza? And the answer to that is, well, probably the UK and the US, two countries that have absolutely no morality whatsoever and are most definitely on the side of genocide. The problem is the UK is a collapsed empire and, it can barely function. Doesn't even have much of a military at all. And the USA is also in the process of, I wouldn't quite say collapsing, but the economy is imploding, that's for sure. And the USA does not have the throughput on robotics that would be necessary, nor even the technology to make Terminator armies. But China does. China's got the technology. China has a company called Unitree, which has these scary dog robots and also humanoid robots, etc. And they are physically incredibly impressive at what they can achieve in terms of movement and dexterity and moving across terrain. In fact, let me show you some of the B-roll of the Unitree robot right now while I'm talking, but take a look at what this dog bot can do. Now, of course, the Chinese government is subsidizing this effort. Of course, the Chinese military is taking these dog bots and putting rifles on them and thermal cameras, you know, to hunt down and kill humans, right? Hunter killers from the Terminator movie series. Of course, they have, you know, stealth camo versions of this. I mean, come on. So China is actually building the infrastructure of a large-scale military robotics empire. And they're using the civilian side of that in order to create some revenue streams for those companies that are primarily interested, I believe, in having developing a military technology. And Russia is leading the way in autonomous tanks, at least from what I've seen. And Russia has pioneered a lot of military autonomous technology and other technologies such as hypersonic missiles and, of course, Oreshnik missile systems and very advanced nuclear submarines and stealth technology and rapid underwater, like cavitation drive technologies for submarines, things like that. So Russia and China are arguably, I mean, depending on the technology, anywhere from a few years ahead of the United States to maybe even 20 years ahead of the U.S. Even China's fighter jets are, I think at this point, two generations ahead of U.S. fighter jets, you know, the F-35s, etc. So the future wars on our planet will not be determined by human soldiers. They will be determined by machines. It's going to be machines fighting machines. And that brings us back to the importance of the industrial output of the countries and their access to things like neodymium or other rare earths that are necessary for the manufacture of these machines. Silver will also be a component in all of these. So keep that in mind when you're thinking about, you know, should I buy gold and silver? Well, silver is used in so many electrical components. It's not only used in data centers and medical equipment, but also in military equipment. And as a result, there's going to be a little bit of silver in every Terminator robot. Might be worth killing the Terminators just to harvest the silver, actually. I can see that. I can see like some Indian guys like dumping Terminator, you know, junked Terminator bot parts into a giant vat to melt it down for the silver content. You know, they're good at that. They do that with old computers and things like that and mobile phones. They can do it with Terminators. But there's going to be a certain amount of silver in every Terminator. And there's going to be a certain amount of neodymium, actually quite a lot, in a robot, which means that there will also be a secondary industry of, get this, recycling dead soldier bots. Because, well, they're going to be worth a lot just because of their minerals, if nothing else. And there'll be a whole industry of salvaging the motors and salvaging the microchips and the power supplies. Now, let's talk about the power supplies, because currently this is the limiting factor. Currently, lithium ion is the predominant battery technology for mobile devices and electric vehicles, etc. But it's a very bad technology for soldier bots. Why? Because, you know, one round through the battery causes it to burst into flames. And that's not a good property to have for robots. So if your power supply is just like a bomb waiting to go off, not good. Well, there's another technology called sodium ion, which is much more advanced than lithium ion. It doesn't quite have the energy density or the kilowatt hours per kilogram of the battery. In other words, to carry the same amount of energy as a lithium ion, a sodium ion battery would weigh a little bit more. It might be like 30% more. And it also takes up a little bit more space. But the great thing about sodium ion batteries is they don't burst into flame, even if they are punctured. So they're more sort of battle hardy. Well, guess who is innovating right now and producing the best technology in sodium ion batteries? Guess who? China. Well, Chinese companies. I think one of them is CATL. That is really focused on sodium ion batteries for electric vehicles. At least publicly, that's their front-facing, you know, focus. But you can imagine there's got to be a Chinese military division of the company that's focused on batteries for killbots. I mean, of course there is. Why wouldn't there be? There's something similar in the U.S. as well. There's always like a military version of, you know, every technology company, even Google. You know, there's a military version of Google works with Israel, you know, AI tech to choose targets to commit more efficient genocide. So while China is going to be years ahead of the United States in a Terminator robot, or let's say soldier bot power packs, the U.S. will be floundering in this area, trying to figure out, well, hey, how do we build sodium ion batteries again? Like, how do we make that work? Oh, yeah, it's going to take years of R&D and infrastructure. And even then, those batteries require certain rare earth minerals that the U.S. probably doesn't have a supply line that connects to. So China, once again, has the raw materials and the technology and the infrastructure and the domestic power that the U.S. doesn't have. And a good example of this is to compare right now, compare China's drone companies like DJI to USA drone companies. So DJI is incredibly advanced. I mean, they've got the world's most advanced drones. And of course, DJI has also a military division to make military killbots. Of course they do. US companies, their drones suck. Their drones right now today, they're about equivalent to China in maybe 2020. So 5 years behind. And is not going to get any better. There's just not the engineering and innovation in the USA because, you know, the US public schools churn out people who get D's and F's in mathematics and engineering for the most part, while China is churning out like A plus math geniuses and, you know, even little girls that can solve Rubik's cubes in like 3.9 seconds or something. It's like, what? How'd your little fingers move that fast? That's crazy. So there's no comparison in math, in engineering, in the sciences, in the supply chain, etc. So what this means is that China is positioned to dominate the future wars, which are going to be, you know, autonomous soldier bot and drone wars. And obviously the same thing's true with underwater drones as well, you know, Navy drones, airborne drones, ground drones, whatever, dog drones, squirrel, you know, kamikaze exploding squirrels, like I've talked about before. China's going to dominate in all these areas. The U.S. doesn't have a chance. The U.S. can't even begin to keep up. The innovation just isn't there. So, this is a warning for the United States and for Trump. This is a warning for the U.S. Navy. It won't take much for aircraft carriers to be completely destroyed by swarm bots. The whole idea of sailing around the world with a giant floating, you know, airport, it's obsolete. It's obsolete. In fact, the idea of rolling around a battlefield in a giant, you know, $50 million Abrams tank, that's also obsolete. It doesn't actually win the war anymore. Those are just giant drone targets rolling around. And Russia is taking them out just with ease because, you know, the minute an Abrams tank rolls out onto the battlefield with its, you know, turbine jet engine, which is retarded, that generates a massive heat plume out the back of the tank, and there's like no stealth possibility whatsoever. You know, a thermal drone just says, oh, there's a giant tank, let's go blow it up, and that's what they do. And as these drones get smaller and smaller, and some of them are really small now, they're just going to seek out and destroy individual soldiers one by one, to the point where you won't be able to field soldiers, human soldiers, hardly at all. It's almost all going to be robots fighting robots. And the advantage in the robot manufacturing, in the robot technology, in the scaling of manufacturing, in the rare earths, in the energy supply, all of that, the advantage is China, and then Russia, and then Turkey, and then Iran. The advantage is not the USA. So plan accordingly, because the USA will not be the dominant military force much longer. In fact, I don't think it is now. Remember, the Houthis stopped the entire U.S. Navy in the Red Sea. And Russia stopped all NATO forces in Ukraine. And Iran overpowered America's Iron Dome in Israel, which was not effective. And in just 12 days, Iran just about destroyed Israel. So, I mean, those are three examples of how the U.S. military is obsolete. And that's not to even mention how many of the soldiers are obese and out of shape and living on junk food and just lazy, fat people. I mean, there's just no other way to say it. And, you know, I support veterans. Just to be clear, you know, I support law enforcement and I honor our veterans. But the people that I know who are veterans, when they were in the military, you couldn't be fat and lazy and get by. Now you can. Now you can be woke and fat and lazy and be in the military. And that's just not, you know, that's not going to fly. So keep all of this in mind, folks. Keep all of this in mind. The dollar, in other words, is going to be a collapsing currency. It's good to have gold and silver, etc. If you want to get gold and silver, check out our sponsor, Battalion Metals. They are at metalswithmike.com. And of course, I strongly recommend that you do your own research and you look into all this and you plan accordingly for what's about to happen. So thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. So follow me at naturalnews.com and brightian.com, and thank you for listening. Take care.
Coconut milk powder. One of the best non-dairy alternatives to regular milk. Organic, nutrient-rich, non-GMO, and lab-tested. The ultimate survival food for health-conscious preppers. Stock up now at healthrangerstore.com.